We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Steelers open minicamp tomorrow. It's 3 days. It's mandatory. That means we're putting our top dog on it. Back from vacation, reimagined. And opening up cans of beer on the air, apparently. Jim Colony. Oh. What was that?
I think the sound effect was added for effect.
Oh, it was no sound effect, Jim.
Jim, how were the Outer Banks?
Nice.
Did you go see the Wright Brothers Memorial?
Bad weather. I did not. No, we've been there before, so that's sort of like a been there, done that thing.
You've seen one sand dune, you've seen them all.
Man, they were some weird hombres.
No, they got that jockey... No, the Jockey Hills or whatever it is.
How do you go from a bike shop to deciding we're going to fly planes? You know what I mean? They sold bikes.
I don't know, they probably copied some guys from Europe. Hmm. But, yeah, and then they made it from Dayton to, you know, to Kitty Hawk. Or technically Kill Devil Hills, I believe.
Well, they went there for the wind, not to, like, get into,
right.
like a
A flying purists here.
Not to get on like a bunch.
I didn't go there.
I guess I started the Wright Brothers conversation, though, by asking you about it. Did you know, though, that they were miserable in their older years because all they did was go to court with people over intellectual property violations?
Oh, that seems fun.
They were so obsessed with the flying thing and coming up with it that they would just sue people.
Man,
they were suing people like crazy for like 20 or 30 years. One of them died, and then the other guy just picked up the slack.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I did not know that. I did see an episode of Drunk History that credited their sister with actually doing most of the work.
And neither one of them ever got married.
It's got to be true. Well,
when you're obsessed with flying.
That was a weird part of it, too.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Go on.
This is a family show, Jim, so I guess I'll have to transition away from whatever this is.
Was this also learned on Drunk History, or is this for your own... independent research.
That might have been part of it. Look, we went there, celebrated our anniversary. The kids were with us. It was great.
Congratulations on your successes in life.
Thank you.
Hold on, one more. We got to get this out of the way with Jim really quick.
Please.
Do you believe the lobster diver story? That happens off of what, Hyannisport? He says he got swallowed, or at least a humpback whale.
Was in the mouth of a humpback whale.
In the mouth of a humpback whale and then spit back out like a, you know, tell the cook this is low-grade dog food style.
Wait a minute. When did this happen?
I don't know. Some lobster
fisherman. I could feel his pressure and movement and this whale just swimming and shaking his head. And I'm in this dark.
Did you realize you were in a whale?
And then I realized after I said it's not a shark. The only other thing is I just got eaten by a whale.
Okay, Jonah. What else you got for us?
So this guy's a liar from Boston.
Jonah. Whale did swallow Jonah. Sorry. Okay. That was a song we sang in New England back in the day.
I thought there was separation of church and state.
What, because Jonah
was
the Bible?
Yeah, I don't know. I thought that might be.
You ever heard of the old sea shanty,
there.
Roll the old chariot, Jim?
No, I haven't. And that's a true. I haven't. No.
Fair enough.
I've heard of some similar things, but not that in particular.
Jim, did you ever see any pictures or photographs of TJ Watt at OTAs?
No.
Okay. What are your thoughts on him maybe skipping this week?
Well, that would be interesting.
Do you think it's possible?
I'll find out tomorrow. And yet, unless one of the players or coaches mentions it, I'm not allowed to say anything about it.
Mm. Is that why you're being coy with us right now?
No, because you asked me if I saw any photographs of him, and I said no, because if I had, I would have been able to talk about him. I'm trying to think back. I only went to, since I was off last week, I was at three OTAs. Jeff was at more than I was. So, you know, the OTAs that I saw, I'm trying to.
Do you think it's a big deal if he was a holdout for minicamp?
Not really. No, I mean he's the least of their worries. It's not like he's not, you know, working out, not staying in shape, and won't be ready for training camp. Now, training camp rolls around and he's not there, then that becomes a story. You know, minicamp, it'll be a story because, well, we have to make it a story because he is, I guess, what, the second most important player on the team?
Well, it would just make you think, it would just make you, I think he's their best player. I think it would just make you wonder,
well,
if he doesn't have a contract extension, how far would he be willing to take a holdout? Minicamp is one thing.
He'll get a contract extension. He'll get one. I don't think anybody's really worried about that at this point. We'll see what happens. You know, training camp is still, 7 weeks away? So I'm not gonna worry about that.
Seven?
Too much.
I think it's got to be closer than that now, right? Aren't they starting early because the Hall of Fame games?
4th of July is like 3 weeks away, yeah.
By the way, are you going any? You got any 4th of July plans?
Okay, so it's 5.5 weeks.
I don't, as of right this second.
I'm going in alphabetical order.
Andrew.
Oh, okay. Because I do now.
Jim, in the is this a big deal category or not?
And Chris.
Oh, what? Yes. If Andrew has plans, yes, tell me more.
Jim, if you'd like to make a formal announcement now, by all means.
No, Andrew is in, all you guys are in under last names. Mm-hmm. Except, well, Craig's not. He's in under his first name, and I haven't even gotten to the K's yet.
Fair enough.
So, you know, I mean, you'll get it at some point.
I'm not worried about it. Will Mitch Keller ever get it, as long as he's wearing a Pirates uniform?
You know what? I honestly don't know. And at some point, you know, I agree with sending him back to the minors because there was nothing going here. He wasn't even spinning his wheels, and he'd actually. This every other start was good thing. That's gone away.
Yeah.
So send him back down. And it never worked with Glasnow. It did work with Brault when, you know, Brault was at the point where he had accomplished everything he could at the minor league level, and yet they still sent him back down when he couldn't cut it in the majors. And the last couple of years, Brault has found it, although now he's hurt, obviously. But you know, I don't even know if that qualifies as tough love. And, you know, if he starts going down to Indianapolis and can't get those guys out, then that obviously is a problem. But I don't have a problem with it. I mean, I had a problem with you know, Shelton not giving Will Crow a chance to work out of what wasn't even a jam just to see how he'd react to it instead of, you know, kind of it's like, well, we don't want to hurt the kid's confidence. Well, duh, you hurt the kid's confidence by taking him out when he didn't deserve to be taken out. You know, I want to see the young guys be challenged. And he was challenged in the first inning and minimized the damage. And then he retired, you know, he retired 15 guys in a row. And then they didn't give him a chance. And you wonder how that affects his confidence if you don't give him a chance to prove his confidence. That to me, that's counterproductive by, you know, living in your fears, to borrow the, you know, Tomlinism.
I think they're living in a world where they don't care if they win or lose the game. I mean, that's abundantly obvious and clear to me. And so... You know, are they?
Well, that's fine.
Then that's all the more reason to let Will Crow see what he can. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, but you know what I think it is? I think it's the all-time example of one of the, you know, classic examples of a guy just got demoted to the minor leagues. He got called up. Let's get him out of the game while he's still feeling good about himself. Let's not have him blow the game here so we can pat him on the back.
But I agree with Jim's saying here. I agree with what Jim's saying. If he's been that good and then he walks one hitter.
But
and
the problem is he hasn't been that good. He was good for one day.
In that game,
to get him out of there before he blew up and ruined
living
a good day.
Living in your
fears
again.
It was a 10-pitch at bat. by definition, it wasn't like he threw four straight pitches over the backstop. It was a 10-pitch at bat, and ball four was pretty close. And by definition, with a 10-pitch at bat, six of those pitches were recorded as strikes. And so it wasn't like he was all over the place. And you know, give him a chance. And now I will give, and I wrote a story about this on the website to plug that at 937thefan.com, that Shelton did at least. He brought in his best reliever, who's not named Richard Rodriguez, to try to get out of that inning and to preserve his chance to pick up his first major league victory. You know, that's a big deal, his first major league win. And yet at the same time, both for his development and for the team's development, you want to see how these guys react to situations. To me, I didn't like the fact that
Shelton, that the first win thing is nice, but I think, I forget the exact choice of words, but he basically said he was drained after that 10-pitch at bat, that it, you know, mentally or whatever. Come on, if I'm the pitcher, I might want my first win really bad. I don't want my manager saying I was drained because I went 10 pitches with a guy and got a bad luck or whatever, hard luck ball four call. That makes it seem like I'm mentally weak.
Yeah, he got – now, and so he was at 82 pitches after that 10-pitch at bat. The start before that, it was awful. The one before he got sent down, I think it was 49 pitches. But I looked it up. Before that, he had four consecutive starts, 97 – I think it was 97, 93, 94, 94, his pitch counts, and the four starts before that. So it wasn't like it was – I don't know. I just didn't like it. I want to see – and Shelton's not the only manager that does that. Hurdle used to do that kind of stuff too. And I think it's probably done around the majors where it's like we want to make the kid feel good about himself. He's not a kid. He's inexperienced.
Man.
He's 26 years old.
You know what the issue with the problem I'm having with this whole thing is that you can't right now, you can't convince me or persuade me to care about Will Crow. And you also can't convince me to care enough about winning or losing one game. That's my whole hang-up with this. If that were Mitch Keller, I would have much stronger feelings about this thing. Because I still, for as much as he is sucked out loud, to steal your expression, Jim, I still try to factor Mitch Keller into their future plans. They got this guy back for Josh Bell. And I still don't give a damn about Will Crow. That's the problem here. And I don't think a lot of people do.
Yeah, I'm going to have to second that opinion.
I mean, that's
the
issue with these types of conversations, unfortunately, is that they are so buried in the standings that I think only a few people care. That's the issue. If you mentioned Hurdle, if something like this happened in 2015, people would be going nuts today. They'd be screaming and calling into our shows, but I just don't see.
It's just another thing that happened.
And I don't even think people really harangue Shelton because they feel bad for the hand he's been dealt. Personally, I think that's the problem with him.
You know, the other thing is, if you want to look at if there are some encouraging things, like outside of missing first base, that Key Brian Hayes has a 10-game hitting streak going now. And then, as long as he continues to hit well and Reynolds continues to do good things, at least at the plate, and Adam Frazier continues to hit, then that's fine. But let them lose the games too, because that's the point, isn't it? In the long term, I mean, they still have to catch they only have the third worst record in baseball right now.
Yeah.
Who's worse? There are a couple teams that are worse. I think Arizona's one and then somebody
but
else.
But this is why it's so tough. I even get the impression, Jim, that people have draft and prospect fatigue. The impression that people are like, well, what are they going to do with the first pick? Or what are a couple of top draft picks going to do for this team?
There's not a Strasburg or a Harper out there to get excited about. There's a muddy picture at the top where it was the two pitchers from Vandy, and now it's suddenly
who continue
like
to pitch well, but
five
evidently
or six different guys.
The draft people don't think they're good. I don't know. Or not good enough to be the number one pick, I should say.
There could be a projectable high school shortstop out there for the Pirates to pluck.
Oh, how many more middle infielders do they need?
What's for dinner tonight,
I mean, seriously,
Jim?
Give me a pitcher. Chicken of some sort and corn. Give me a collegiate pitcher, Jack Leiter, who could be major league ready within 2 years when things might start to turn around a little bit. You know, find a position for Cruz, get him into a lineup, get his bat someplace where he's not going to make a ton of errors, meaning right field, and then develop around that. And you want a guy who can be better than Mitch Keller or better than Brubaker or better than, you know, maybe he'll be the, you know, a collegiate pitcher, maybe not like Garrett Cole, but maybe close. And where you have somebody that's going to be ready to help you in 2 years instead of a shortstop that's going to wallow in the minors, or a catcher that, I don't know, you know, maybe he'll be great, but it's, you know, it's not like we're chasing after Matt Wieters here, when they should have picked him how many years ago. But
yeah,
but and the draft fatigue is right, and yet, you know, Jeff and I have talked about this, and he's been doing it, and I put a story out there with the kind of the minor league highlights to see what's going on with O'Neill Cruz, who was just tearing the cover off the ball at Altoona.
Yep.
And Anthony Alford's batting like .440 in Indianapolis, but we all saw him up here earlier. But, you know, there are some stories in the minors where guys are developing where they show some promise. And I used to hate seeing those things because, Chris, how many, Andrew, you weren't here yet, but Chris, how many years in a row did we see those things where we're looking at the Chris Duffys and the,
oh, God,
you know, McLaus
Stop.
And the Zach Dukes and, you know, and it was like we're more worried about those guys in the minors hoping, you know, that when they got to the majors they'd be good, and then they really weren't. You know, finally they got good when we were following McCutchen and Walker and Harrison. They got in a trade and some of the other guys like Jordy and finally that, you know, following those guys up through the minors paid off. And I don't know if people are ready for that again. And yet, based on what we've seen the last few years, what else are you going to do if you're a Pirate fan?
Exactly.
You have to follow those guys.
That was the Out of Office Report brought to you by Tri-State Office Furniture. Thank you, Jim. Good to have you back.
Nice to be back, boys.
There you go. We'll talk again tomorrow.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.